Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. Hey there, and welcome back. So today I'm sharing something a little different. I was recently a guest on the Heal Through Humor podcast with Talia Bumbala. And we had such a powerful conversation about all the things, from chasing perfection to hitting rock bottom, healing, and what it really takes to rewrite your story from the inside out. I know so many of us are tired of performing, proving, and chasing after our worthiness, especially in the season we're in right now. And that's why I want to bring this real, raw, and honest conversation packed with takeaways, juicy bits of wisdom, and little things that you could start taking action on right now. So grab a journal, a pen, and settle in. And if need be, come back and listen to this episode again. There's so much that you can apply in everyday life. So let's dive in.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode. Today's guest is Rachel Brooks, the author of Chasing Perfection. I have been looking forward to this episode ever since I have a media person who helps me with booking. And ever since he connected us, I have been excited to get to know more about you, especially for the listeners to get to know more about you. I love your story. And I would love if you could introduce yourself and share more. We were just talking a little bit off air, but I didn't want to go too deeply into it because I want it to be on the episode. So I'll let you take it away.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's an honor to be here. I'm Rachel Brooks, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and founder of The Confident Woman, a lifestyle and media brand really geared toward empowering women to create lasting change within and set themselves up for that success in their life. Holistically speaking, that came through in about my story, which is all transpired into my book, Chasing Perfection, A Journey to Healing, Fitness, and Self-Love, which we'll unpack a little bit of that today.
Definitely. My first question that I usually ask guests, which I think most podcasts cover this, but you can put any spin you want on it. What would you say at least one moment, but a few pivotal moments in your life happened that led you to where you are today?
I would say, well, the pivotal moment was when I hit rock bottom. And, you know, for everybody, there's a breaking point in somebody's life, right? And that's really the epitome to where we go from there, that center of where we go from there. And so I found myself at the bottom of this metaphorical pit. And I said, there's got to be something better than this. And when I was in this place, I was really forced to confront a lot of my paths, what led me to fall to this bottom and not really have some place to catch me. And in that bottom is where I had to really seek inward. And I think that that's one of the biggest breakthroughs in my life, is that as somebody who is chasing in that context, and why the book's title is Chasing Perfection, is because it's that constant chase of it. No matter what we do, is it enough? And we live by this worldly standard of what perfection is. And that's what the idea of, well, if we had the perfect life and the perfect body and the perfect job and the perfect bank account, then we'll be enough. And that enoughness was so exhausting that I not only hit burnout, but I had an injury that set me back as well, and some devastating losses and grief and a lot of things that compiled and led me there. That was the turning point in my life. Then on the up and up, because obviously I'm not at the bottom of the pit, so world alert. Turned out more than I thought. And then after I started coming to my own journey, my own story, and rewriting one that was empowering and just filled with so much love and gratitude from a place that I hadn't been before, the turning point for that had been publishing my book. And from that point forward, my entire business, my life, my relationships, everything had been built upon that foundation. So I'm grateful for landing at the bottom, because I couldn't be at the top and appreciate so much of what comes from that as well.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I think the perspective, I've talked about this with my brother before. I have a not identical, but similar story in terms of having to hit bottom in order to rise kind of like a phoenix. I hit it a few times, probably like how, not Lewis and Clark, the ones who invented the plane flight. Why am I blanking?
The Wright brothers.
Long brain. Thank you. The Wright brothers. Probably how they had some like touch ground touches before they finally took off. That was me. That experience, I joked before that some people have to hit their own version of a bottom, and some people can just like metaphorically get a postcard and be like, yep, looks not like it's for me. I just trust you and I won't go there. Mm-hmm. And both journeys can lead to healing and awareness, but having to go through it yourself and rebuild and like reclimb, you know, the first mountain or the second mountain gives such a different level of appreciation for everything that I'm sure you have and I have in my life now. I don't think I would look at it the same or appreciate it the same if there was not a obstacle or a struggle to overcome to get there. I think it makes it, it's like when you homemade lemonade, the part of the reason why it's so delicious is because you had to put the effort into getting it. It doesn't mean that there's not other good ones out there that you don't have to work for, but that's part of the story and why it's so rich and so in depth and so something that you can base your business around because it's part of you and it's part of your journey and your history. And that I think is a great connecting point to clients because you have the lived experience and you have the professional experience.
Right. To piggyback off of what you shared, when you go there and you feel like I got a postcard, but don't want to live there. So they bounce off as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that, yep. I don't want to go there.
Yeah. Don't like that. Yeah.
Right. I didn't like it either, but my pit was so deep that the climb up, I was still at the bottom. Every step right. up, I was still right. there. So right. I lived there. I lived there for a bit. But, you know, in hindsight, everything that I had to face, to overcome, to endure, had strengthened me and given me the capacity to come through on that other side, that if I had just dipped my toe in that and bounced right out, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Exactly.
And that's the depths of however far you want to go on your own journey will also give you the depths in the ascension is how high you can go there too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, for anyone who's kind of on that walk or that path and like, wow, I don't want to go there. Listen, nobody chooses to go there.
No,
it's sometimes it's forced mandate and we have mm-hmm. to because mm-hmm. of the operation.
Yeah. We avoid whether it's consciously or subconsciously for so long. And then we find ourselves there and it's like, oh, yeah, this is uncomfortable. This is exactly why I did not want to be. And I call it the pit, too. Years ago, when I first started becoming a therapist, I remember the big thing back then was like promo videos on your website to get the client to have kind of like a sample of what it's like to work with you. And the pretty voiceover of me walking on the beach or wherever we filmed it. Part of what I said was, you know, I sit in the pit with you. I'm like your pit partner for as long as you need. And I might be the only one holding the light, or maybe we like share it until you're ready to journey out of it. And like you said, sometimes that can take a while, and having that guidance along the way, or having those supportive pit partners, if you will, along the way, I think can make a difference. I'm curious if you had to pick a few of those along the way, what would you say helped you to get out of the pit?
To get out of the pit, I think first of all was number one, accepting that I'm there. Sometimes we can brave ourselves out of it. We can talk ourselves, oh, I'm just here for a second. I'll get there out, you know, and
right.
We can pep ourselves up, but we can't outthink what actually reality is. We're at a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. allowing myself to grieve and heal while in that state, but also being grateful. So gratitude is a huge part of my journey, because it allowed me to now see the good that could come out of what was an otherwise bad situation. So I would say self-awareness, gratitude, and then coming up further through the pit, you realize that you have so much compassion and love for yourself. So I would say forgiveness. So allowing self-forgiveness and forgiveness to those who directly or indirectly helped me get to that bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's spoken about, at least in what I hear, it's not spoken about enough that even on the journey down, there's still gratitude for the people who either watched it happen or kind of not took us there because it's our choice in a way, but it's a perspective that I think once you're out of it, it's like, oh, that makes sense why this friendship didn't work, this relationship didn't work, this hardship happened. It's usually in retrospect that the sense is made, not while we're in that pain of, God, why is this happening to me? Not necessarily a woe is me, but it's like, why me? Like, I don't think I'm strong enough to handle this. I don't think I can get through this. What purpose is this going to serve? Like, is this going to help at all? And sometimes we never get the answer to those questions. But I know when I sit with my clients, and I'm sure when you sit with people that you work with as well, or people who have written in of like this from your book, like, this has happened to me, I resonate so much, then we get our why. It's not always in the moment. Sometimes it's delayed.
Right, exactly. And, you know, when we're in our own pit, we're very self-absorbed, or that lack of better term, because we're just in a place where it's like, woe is me. And it's okay to be a victim. It's okay, because this is your story. Mm-hmm. But you have to ask yourself, is this how you want the story to end? Is this the story you want to continue on the other side?
Right, right.
And I had to answer, you know, a lot of questions. I mean, the three profound questions that I asked myself was, who am I? What's holding me back, and why? And so I would never about, I never even thought to ask those questions. Those thoughts never even came through my mind. I didn't even care who I was. I was just going through life, just, you know, blindly going and just, you know, whatever. But life knocks the wind out of your sails and takes you out unexpectedly. But it forces us to really take that step back and ask ourselves those questions, because when we're able to ask ourselves, who am I? We now have to address that head on. We have to start redefining what that looks like. What is the narrative that we're speaking to and about ourselves? What is that negative self-talk that's telling us that, oh, look at you, you deserve to be here. You're so stupid. How would you end up here? You think you're really going to get out? We might as well just hunker down and this is life. But flipping that narrative and flipping the script allowed me to really face those questions, redefine who I am, but more importantly, address the areas of my life that are holding me back so that I don't repeat the same patterns, the same mistakes. And then more importantly, on top of that, so it's like compounding, why? Why am I here? Not just why am I here at the bottom of this pit? Why am I here in life? And it gave a whole new sense of purpose and meaning. But then I had to go back to that first question of who am I and ask myself again, who am I really? Because now that I knew that I had a purpose and a meaning, the who am I version couldn't be the version that could get me through the purpose. So that allowed me to rewrite my story twice in that pit. And it has been, you know, something that I think we continue to rewrite our story. We continue to ask ourselves these questions. We continue to redefine, because who I was at the bottom of the pit 10 plus years ago is not the same woman I am today. And I'm not going to be the same person even, you know, a month or 3 months or 5 years from now. And it's okay to give yourself permission, because once you do that, the bounce back is so much quicker. And that's what I found is where, again, if you're dipping your toes and saying, oh, that sucks, I don't want to be there, then you're going to keep dipping your toe. But the more you go to the depth of it, you realize, okay, I know where to go. I got this. And it builds up your confidence. It builds up your esteem. It builds up the resiliency. It builds up strength, character, perseverance, all the things that we admire in other people. All those things that we would think about ourselves, but are we really strong and courageous if we're not willing to take the plunge? So there's a lot of these layers, but coming full circle, it's life is really about your opportunity to choose which direction you go, how you choose to step tiptoe or fully in, and what you're coming through on the other side. What were the biggest takeaways? And those are the lessons that we carry forward into our lives.
Definitely. And I would say as well, I joke with my clients, it's like, I forget which children's book it was, but it's like being afraid of your own shadow, even though it's like stuck to the tip of your toe, that when we're not comfortable with diving into the depths or doing the deep work, the shadow work, the asking of the questions, how did I get here? What messages did I receive growing up that led me to have that inner critical voice that says I'm not good enough, or nothing I ever do will be good enough? I'm only good enough if, right, the contingencies of worth. And being able to go in and examine that is not comfortable. And I don't recommend people who are, especially listening to this podcast, but I don't recommend people at large who are like, you know what, I've gone through a lot. I want to ask myself these questions. And I know that I've had hardships in my life, to not feel like you have to go it alone or feel like shame or what could possibly be uncovered stops you from finding somebody who can work with you on this, or a book or a podcast or consuming other media that can help you along that path. You don't have to go through it alone. You can work with a therapist or a coach that could help you to guide yourself to those answers and hold you accountable. I know one of the most helpful things I've ever done was grief counseling. And there were times where I did not want to go to those sessions because of what you're facing and what you're uncovering. And I remember her being, she wasn't a therapist, so she had the, you know, different guidelines, but she was so gracious. She said, this is not an assignment to rush through. Like, if we have to have the next session or the final session in a month or two from now, when you're a different person, then let's do that. I don't want you to rush through it just to check it off your list, because that's not actual grief counseling or healing from it. You're just kind of dissociating from it at that point. So I think being able to go in and do the deep work, you don't have to go it alone, and you don't have to be afraid of what you uncover being your undoing. Will it shake you for a bit? Yes. Might it change your identity entirely? Yes. That doesn't mean it needs to be something that you fear. It could be something that you anticipate, and you can take it bite by bite, even when you dive all the way in the deep end. Come back up for air, and then go back down to the deep end. Come back up for air, like kind of like scuba diving, rather than it being like, oh, that's cold water, I'm just not going to do it, I'll sit here in the, you know, the shallow end just waiting around. It's still there. Just because you're not swimming into it doesn't mean it's not there for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, finding those resources, such as coaches, mentors, therapists, guides, podcasts, books,
yeah,
inspirational videos, little things that really do pour life back into your spirit so that you have that lift, you know, that encouragement to keep going.
Right.
Because
right,
it's easy to want to give up, especially when it's hurt. And when you're, you know, metaphorically speaking, you feel like you're just treading water, and eventually you want to just rest. You need to find rest. So finding that as a platform or a place where you can find that rest, and what does rest look like? It's, you know, not like a sleep rest, but rest in finding that place where you can open up, where you can share. Somebody has your best interest to others who have walked similar walks, and feeling that encouragement and uplift through inspiration and encouragement of peers, friends, you know, anybody. And sometimes maybe it's not our direct circle. Maybe sometimes the people in our direct circle are part of the play of how we ended up there. So we have to take a self-assessment, just really take inventory and personal accountability of where you are as of today. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just, hey, I'm here. Check in with yourself. Are things good? Great. Then keep going. Are things not so good, or maybe they're lukewarm? Well, let's revisit those areas. And then we can assess what we need to do to get to a place where it feels more comfortable, but not complacent, if that happens.
Yes, I think that's a good distinction, that it, and I always say that we can't grow if we don't learn to tolerate discomfort, because mm-hmm. growing can be quite uncomfortable at times. And there's respites as you're climbing that mountain, right? As you're getting to the peak, or as you're coming down and climbing the next mountain, you can take a break, like develop different base camps where it's like, whew, okay, I'm gonna pack myself up. I'm gonna get my blisters packed up, right? You don't have to just go, you know, nose to the grindstone of this depth work for months on end. Some people prefer to do that, but it can get exhausting and you can burn out on it. And if you really want to get to that peak and really discover those questions, you know, who am I? What is my purpose here? And why? You're worth the time to take time answering those questions and to invest in other, you know, like you said, guides and resources in order to get those answers, not just rush through it like it's a, you know, school assignment of like, well, I'll just put an answer in, get credit for doing it. It's not about doing it. It's not that it's done. It's how it's done.
Right. Right. And it's really at your own pace, a mm-hmm. pace that healing and growth coincide.
And now time for an ad break. Hey there, listeners. We're interrupting your favorite podcast to bring you a special message from our friends over at Therapy Swag. Are you tired of the same old boring wardrobe? Ready to add a dash of sass and style into your closet while repping mental health? Look no further than Therapy Swag, your go-to online store for snarky shirts and mugs. Their products make awesome gifts for friends, family, or anyone in need of a little pick-me-up. They're on a mission to break the stigma surrounding mental health. They use humor and creativity to open up dialogue, challenge stereotypes, and remind us it's okay to not be okay. Because let's face it, laughter is the best medicine. So why settle for ordinary when you can stand out with Therapy Swag? Head over to their website today and treat yourself to some snarky goodness. Trust us, your wardrobe and your mood will thank you. Thanks to our sponsor for supporting the show. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
And that's, unique to each individual's journey. And healing is literally that. It's a process. Mm-hmm. There is multiple layers. There's areas that you don't even realize are there until you heal from one. You're like, oh, yeah, that's what that is. Okay, I gotta go address that too. Because healing also brings curiosity, I think. Because like I said, if you explore one area and you're healing from it, you realize now that was interconnected with that thing and that thing and that thing and so on. Yeah. Back to patterns.
And true.
I don't know. I think for me, it was kind of cool because I'm like, ooh, well, if I could do that, what other areas can I revisit? What other areas need a light shined in it? And I really took a full inside out approach into not just the areas that I felt landed me at the bottom of my pit, but while I'm there, I'm like, I might as well check in on these areas and this and that and so on. And now I'm like, I gotta rebuild my entire life. And I was like, all right, build up the stamina and the pace that you can sustain.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was so cool. So cool. So it's not for everybody. Because some people, like I said, don't want to go there. But once you go there, you're already in the thick of it. You might as well just continue. I mean, you've already kind of taken your beatings and the wounds are already there.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep going. But it makes you, like I said, it toughens you. It gives you the strength. But more importantly, it gives you the capacity and the compassion, the understanding, the empathy, the, everything that we're looking for on that other side. We strengthen that. And now when we're working with other individuals or encounter somebody on a similar path, we stop to really be with them and say, wow, I know what you're going through. It's a whole different instead of like, sucks to be you, let's keep going, and there's a lot of that. We see that especially in the online space. There's too much of that,
yes,
I guess, toxic positivity.
Yes.
Yeah. And everything is now is mindset. It's growth mindset. If you can't get over it, you aren't reading the right books, you're not in the right room, or you're not this. And one of the things that I think is so important to really address is the emotional component, because of how much our emotional pieces of ourselves, they're dysregulated, they've shaken us up. That's a whole nother healing itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't outthink your emotions. You can't read a book to heal the emotions. You actually have to feel and navigate and process through that. And that will open the door for you to actually appreciate what you're taking in the mindset aspect. So yeah,
yes.
It's the whole gamut. And I think for me, it kind of really opened my eyes. And I've built now what I call my four pillars of my foundation, which is built upon mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical health and well-being. Because the physical is the byproduct of the inner fitness, where we tend to lead from the outside in. And that's a full different. So everything I do now is inside out.
Yeah, I think that's the most aligned way to live also. And if we are honest with ourselves, and as uncomfortable as it can be, especially for those of you listening who are very intellectual and spend a lot of your world up here in your mind, to drop into your body, to learn how you feel, to learn not only how you feel, but what are emotions? Because we can be taught, oh, this is what happiness is, or this is what sadness is, whether it's directly being told that by our parents growing up or learning it kind of like by being modeled and piecing it together, like, oh, well, they have all this money and they look happy, or they have this job and they look happy. That doesn't mean that person is feeling or connected to the emotion we think that they are on the surface. And that inside out approach allows the person to tune in and go, would that even make me happy? Like, let's say in the money example, that person is happy because they make X amount. But is that what I need to be happy? No, I actually need more freedom in my time of my work, or I need freedom in where I can work, or I need to not have what my happiness is tied to my salary, right? Like, it's going inside out and tuning into, dropping into what feels right for me and what feels most true. And what is most true for you might not be most true for me, but we could have a discussion about it. We could talk about it, and we can probably find some similarities of, oh, that feeling. I know that feeling. I get that when I, whatever, look at my daughter, or I get that when I eat a piece of cheesecake. Obviously not, probably not the exact same cause. I feel joy in both, but they're different to different levels. That it's learning your emotional world can help you to not only organize your world around core values. That's one of my big things that I teach my therapy and coaching clients. It helps you to know what is the physical activity that's most honoring of your life and what's most aligned. What is the spiritual? What is the mental? What is the emotional? How can we get all of those online so you're not feeling like something's missing or like you didn't do enough of that inner work? At least that's the way I tell them to look at it.
And that's exactly how I've taken that approach as well. Because you can tell when there's a misalignment. And I mean, you'll feel it in the area that's out of alignment. You'll feel it in your soul calling, like, okay, there's something missing here. There's a void. Or where we're not challenged mentally, we become like just resentful about things. But man, I'm not making that progress. Or physically something, we have bells, alarms, and whistles in us that's blaring because something's not being addressed. And then, when we look at the emotion, it's like, when we don't feel an alignment, there's that out of alignment, which is that emotional component. It's like, we're thinking and we're moving, but we're not on the same page. Though you'll feel this, but I think sometimes it goes back again to the self-awareness. How much time are we actually giving ourselves to check in? Are we honoring what's going on? Are we actually addressing it? Or are we just, oh, that sucked, let me just find another distraction or numb out or pretend it doesn't exist? And we find that in a lot, with women, especially as ambitious go-getting women, we don't have time for that. We have laundry list of things to do, kids screaming, dog barking, all kinds. And you want me to check in on myself? No.
I'll get to that Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Yeah, there's no time for it.
Yeah, that's number 173. I'm only at 14.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I think tuning in, it doesn't have to, I work with, that's probably my main specialization. And it comes from me also identifying as like a very ambitious woman. And I've been talking about it more on Instagram, but being like doing it all or doing based worth, and then not being it all necessarily, but like feeling it all and being based worth. Cause somebody had written in and asked like, well, how do I feel more self-worth, or how do I tune into my self-worth? I forget the exact wording. And I had commented and I said, I bet you tie your self-worth to your productivity. And that is going to be something to rewire by leaning in of, where are you already worthy? Where do you not have to produce results to feel that way as it is? And when you are attuned to that, you already have worth, it's your job to just pick it out where it already exists, not cultivate more of it, because that can be exhausting. And that's what you touched on in the beginning too, is that feeling of not enoughness. If that's the motivator or the drive to do a lot of what a person does, and then they achieve a lot, and then they look at it and they're like, well, when will it ever be enough? Despite all the accolades, all the awards, or whatever they're measuring that enoughness by, it's like a drug. You're just going to keep chasing it. Like, I joke, external validation is the worst drug that I ever did, because you just want more of it. And there's no dose. You develop a tolerance so quickly. It has to come from that internal validation. The accolades are nice, but that's the cherry on top, or the sprinkles on top of the sundae. It can't be like the base or the ice cream.
Exactly. And I think that you hit on a topic that I would, if you're okay, exploring a little bit. Because
of course,
even though you say like it's the external drug, sometimes you don't even realize that you relapsed.
It's so true.
Yeah.
That is such a good point.
Just saying, I don't know, possibly maybe from personal experience, I went. Literally, yeah. I mean, it's okay. So I write my book, Chasing Perfection. And it's like, intellectually, I know this. I know this now. But I found myself in a whole different lane, repeating similar things, but colored differently. So that's why I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
And as I was doing it, so I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing the exact same thing, but in a whole different area of my life. Yeah. But had I not done the inner work in that pit, I would be blindly just continuing on this path and wondering, oh, how did I get here? Mm-hmm. I know how I got here. I didn't see that until the journey was, I was too far into the woods to be like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we're on that lost path and we're not even close to where we need to be.
So, this isn't on the map.
No.
Oh, I was like, good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Took the same left turn. But it was in that context, and I want to bring this back to time. What I realized also is like, okay, chasing perfection, that enoughness, that drive will always be in you. It's almost like we have to tame it. You cannot permanently remove it. It's in your DNA. I mean, think of it as like how trauma shapes and shifts us. We're constantly being rewired and reprogrammed positively and negatively. So I think that is always in me. And I found myself now at this place where, you know, I checked everything off my list. It was through worth, through achievement. Everything I ever wanted to accomplish and achieve, I was just like, I was at the top of this mountain per se. And then when I got there, it's just like, is this it?
This is what I felt. No. This is it? I worked all those years for this? I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a nice view, but this is it? Yeah.
And that same feeling at the top of the mountain was exactly the same feeling I felt at the bottom when I said, man, this sucks. So you can experience the same thing in the highs and the lows in two different situations, two different walks of life. Now, of course, these are like, you know, several years difference between these two stories. But it's almost that chasing success, right? Because perfection is the illusion. Success is so subjective as to how you define success. But if you look again externally, how the world defines success, that's not how your internal world views success. Though, one of my favorite quotes is by Tony Robbins. He says, "Success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure." And when I read that again, I was like, "Yep." There it was. That was the lesson I needed to remind myself again, because success was achievement. Because as a perfectionist, you achieve, you perform, you produce. That's how I earned my worth. That's how I perceived it. Even though I knew that in chasing perfection in my book, I mean, it's a whole, like I said, a whole different story. But I realized now I was repeating the same worthy aspect just now in a business. Or what the world deems successful. So feeling it back again, even though I didn't end up in a pit, I ended up at the top. And I said, wow, I've got to do something different. And I started redefining what success means for me. I started redefining what fulfillment is. What is meaning? What is purpose? What are the things that really internally light me up to my soul's core? The values, the beliefs. And then I get to rewrite my story again, because now that the Rachel today has a whole new story than the Rachel at the bottom of the pit, because the Rachel at the bottom of the pit was just trying to figure out who she was and who she needed to be to get to where she was. But now that I'm well aware of who I am, sometimes the values get misconstrued by what the world tells you is worthy, acceptable, successful. And when you want to make a big impact in your life and in your business, sometimes you lose sight of the internal because you're so driven on helping others and helping them see that you lose sight of yourself.
Yeah. And I know the original quote, I believe, is from one of the very motivational videos by David Goggins, like the guys who are in the military that like you hear it on the audio on some of the reels on Instagram and they're like really hardcore. And one of them is like, the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary, but I modified that to the only place that success comes before worth is in the dictionary, because it also applies. So having it be a good barometer of, am I doing this or being this way because I believe whether it's accurate or not, it will give me more self-worth or finally prove to another person that I have worth, including myself? Or am I doing this because this feels like it's a win for me? Is this a success for me? And it, can that be enough? And if the answer is yes, when I'm working with clients to not be perfectionists, especially, then try it. Oh, but what if it's not? We're not worried about the outcome. We're worried about the feeling that thinking about doing this or thinking about being this way is warm and inviting and fuzzy. Even if it's messy, try it. You can always make a different decision. Caveat, maybe a couple of things you can't always, but it's like more often than not, if you make one decision, like if I got something for lunch that I didn't like, I could always send it back or order a different thing the next time. Like it's rare, minus the gravity problems, it's rare that you couldn't choose something else. And that's the same, very similar path of working away from striving for perfection and asking yourself, what is the most important part? And I work with parents on this all the time too. What's the most important part when you're dealing with your teenager? Do you want to have a relationship at the end of the day? Do you want to be close to them when they're in their 20s? What do you want the rest of your life, right? We're talking about like not just these few years. What do you want the rest of your life to look like? And we can adopt from what you desire a different way of being and different things to do now, because it's sometimes it's that it gets done. Sometimes it's how, sometimes it's by who, sometimes it's when. Knowing the answers to those questions can help take the pressure off of not having to do it all and be it all the time for everybody all at once. That's exhausting. And it's not a matter of if it leads to burnout. It's a matter of when and how burnt are you when the burnout, is it like, am I on like a light level of toast or am I on like the dark level of toast on the toaster?
Exactly. And back to the personal experience. Yes, mm-hmm. I sensed that I was getting very toasty, and the awareness now said, mm-hmm. you better hit eject now.
Yes.
Because you know, if you stay in there too long, exactly where it's going to end up. So like I said, I mean, the bottom of that pit has taught me so much about life. And as mm-hmm. I started to feel this pressure, like the internal burn, because that's where the energy is coming from. You feel your physical just fading out. Then mentally mm-hmm. you start going, and then emotionally you're spiraling out of control. You're like, oh my God, what is going on? It's like this internal chaos. And then, you know, spiritually, you're just like, yeah, we've been trying to tell you that's not who we are. We don't go there. And all of a sudden I was just like, damn, here it is again. And I just had to make that decision. I was just like, all right, crash and burn. If I got to start over, at least I'm saving myself this time. And that's a priority, because you can mm-hmm. always rebuild. You can always yes. reinvent. You can always
yes.
start over. But you're never starting over from like ground zero, nothing. You have experience. You have everything in your backing. You're just starting over on like maybe chapter 21 instead of chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
You're still there. Mm-hmm. You're intact. You're whole. And that's where you get to begin again. And I think that, you know, sometimes it can feel scary to admit that or like start over and afraid like, okay, what's the world going to think? What are people going to think? And it's like, okay, remember you're not people pleaser anymore. So I have to go back and remind myself of who I'm not.
And I love memes. I posted one the other day. And it was like, oh, you're a people pleaser. Name three people who are pleased with you. And people were going off in the comments and they were like, damn, I can't think of anyone. And it's funny because when we try to please everyone, you can't. A lot of people say you can't please everyone. You can't please anyone and everyone, including yourself. Like, and ideally, you're at the top of that list. And I do not like this book that was out in, I think, the 80s or 90s, The Giving Tree. It's basically How to Be Codependent 101. Somebody rewrote it along the way. I saw it on Reddit, and I think it's like a 2-page story, much healthier. And it's like, and the tree was like, F this, and left, and was like, I'm not letting you take from me anymore. Having boundaries and moving away from people pleasing is a kindness that you give yourself and the other person, so that it's not this secret contract, this covert contract of resentment building. Well, I did all this nice stuff for you because this is secretly covertly how I want to be treated. And then I'm going to punish you or be resentful towards you because you didn't do for me what I did for you. The golden rule is nice in theory, right? Do unto others as you would like done to yourself. But not everybody's you. Not everybody wants the same things done. So it's really the platinum rule is like treat others how they want to be treated. And we learn how that is by having out loud conversations about expectations and what would work and not work. And that's also a way to move away from people pleasing and perfectionism, is feeling like you don't have to save or fix or be everything for everyone else. Are you enough for you? Can you sit in that? And can, when you drop into yourself, you feel like, you know what, wasn't my best work, but I'm glad I did it, right? Can you have more of that self-compassion rather than toxic positivity or fully negative self-talk?
Exactly. And it always comes back full circle. And it's like, from a people-pleasing perspective, to your point, we don't realize that we're doing it, but it's a way.
Right.
And the way I think, the best way I can describe it is almost like, we're indirectly trying to control and manipulate a situation for our pleasing,
yes,
because we want something in return. But what is that thing that we're actually longing for?
Yes. What are we after?
And
yes.
Sometimes we don't even have words to articulate that. That's mm-hmm. why it's so important to check in with yourself. Because when you realize, oh, I'm only doing that because I need that. Oh, what is that? What is that? Mm-hmm. And then when you can start giving yourself from a nurturing plate what it actually needs, you're now looking at these relationships as you said, what do they need? How can I be of service to them?
Yeah.
And, you know, tune into what they're actually saying instead of, well, no, you have to do it this way because this is in, you know, trying to sell them on whatever it is that you're giving. But yeah, it's just a really unique perspective when you can come back and realize that, because I don't think a people pleaser sets out with that intention, but to give that perspective, you are becoming the one who's controlling and manipulating. Because who needs are not met.
Yes. And most people don't like to hear that people pleasing is manipulative behavior. When I taught this as a professor, I would say the best definition of manipulation to go off of is like in research where you're like independent, dependent variables. Like I'm manipulating one to get an outcome of the other. It doesn't mean it has to be a loaded definition. It's I'm hoping for a certain outcome, whether it's consciously or subconsciously. So I'm going to go in and, you know, maybe tinker or tweak or manipulate, right? Fix, right? Let me put some pegs in this board and here's what I'm wanting in the outcome. It doesn't mean that there's a negative judgment against people pleasers, but by definition, that behavior is manipulative, meaning you're wanting a certain outcome. You want the person to see you or not see you a certain way. And you're hoping, like you said, for a certain need to be met. But what is the need really? Oh, well, I want them to like me, because what would that do for you? Oh, well, then I would finally feel like enough. And that's where really diving in with clients can be so helpful to have them understand it's usually not what you're primarily after. It's that secondary deep gain. That is that drug that we keep chasing, that high that we keep chasing. When you start to tackle that and heal that at the core, you start to notice also a lot of the other people pleasing behaviors and perfectionistic behaviors start to fall away, because you got the meat of it. It's not just the surface level. You got to what the core of it really is. We should do a part two of this episode. I feel like this was so good. We're just getting going. I'm sure our listeners will have many comments and questions. So I'm sure our DMs will be on fire about this episode. I'm very excited about that. And if you would like to come back on, I would love to have you back and we can dive deeper into what we covered today.
If today's conversation resonated with you and you're ready to step into your most confident self, make sure to grab your free confidence blueprint. The first step to stop chasing, start aligning, and create a life and business you love. Grab yourself a copy by clicking on the link in the show notes below.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.